Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and today we're back following a break for the holidays for the continuation of the teaching series centered on the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. That, of course, based on Bob's book of the same title. Copies of the book and the study guide are available at basicgospel.net. Just click the Simple Gospel book link at the top of the homepage, and you'll find them both there. But for right now, time to get underway with this Friday edition of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and here to do that is my friend Bob Christopher.
Why, thank you, Bob. We're in Chapter 10 of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. It's a chapter that I entitled Rest and How to Enter God's Rest. And that's what we're going to talk about this week and next week as well. And this is one of the most important topics for us to discuss, for us to embrace as believers in Christ, because everything good, everything positive, everything powerful in the Christian life starts from a place of rest. If we're restless, we're going to struggle in our Christian life. And I want to give us a little bit of background as to what I mean by a place of rest, that everything starts from a place of rest. And we go all the way back to creation. Mm-hmm. So we see the creation story, that God created all things in 6 days. Well, on the sixth day, he created mankind. He created you and me. Mm-hmm. He created the human race. And then on the seventh day, he rested. So the very first thing that mankind did as far as their relationship with God was concerned was to rest with him. And so that's how it started. That's how our relationship started with God, from a place of rest. Well, sin entered the picture, and sin disrupted that place of rest. It disrupted that sense of rest and peace that was inside of mankind at that time. And it was replaced with restlessness. And I think that's the world history, isn't it? It's a story of restless humanity trying to figure life out apart from God, apart from a relationship with God. Well, when Christ came on the scene, he promised us rest. He said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And that's what we experience. Well, how do we enter that? How do we truly experience that rest that Jesus Christ has provided? And this chapter is going to bring us to that point. Well, here's a story. Joe was a guy that used to come to a Bible study that we did many years ago. Bob, you and I were a part of that. And Joe never missed a Tuesday. And I spent some time with him personally in a counseling situation, and he was going through a very difficult time in his marriage. And he didn't want to get a divorce, but his marriage was quickly heading in that direction. Now, what was really troubling Joe was, what was God going to do if divorce happened? Yeah. He felt like punishment would come quickly into his life, and he was doing everything in his power to stave that off. And the other thing that Joe thought is that it was his wife that was the real problem. Mm. So he was coming to the Bible study to hear nuggets of truth that he could take back to her,
right, sure,
and give those nuggets of truth to her so that she could become the wife that he wanted her to be.
Oh, very natural.
He thought she should be. Now, yeah. In the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, I take a little side detour, mm-hmm, and say, if you're a husband and you're trying to fix your wife, stop. just stop it right now. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells you to change your wife, thus saith the Lord. You are not supposed to play Mr. Fix-It. Your job, your role, what God has called you to do is simply to love your wife as Christ loved the church and leave the results of that in God's hands. But Joe was trying in his power to do everything he could to change his wife so that their marriage could get back on the right track and he would avoid possible punishment from God. Well, here's the story. Joe was not at rest. He was not operating from a place of rest. So everything that he was trying to do to draw this marriage back together was actually doing the exact opposite. It was pushing her miles and miles away. And so the fear of divorce and the fear of punishment just intensified. Mm-hmm. So everything he tried just made matters worse. Now, I tried to redirect his attention almost every week. Joe, this isn't about your wife. This isn't about fixing your marriage. This is about you. Listen to the message. Listen to what God is saying to you. Well, this went on for a number of years, I think almost 2 full years. And finally, one evening after the Bible study was over, Joe came up to me and he was starry-eyed and he had this different look on his face, just a whole brand new countenance. And he looked at me and said, "Have you guys been teaching this stuff all along?" And I'm like, "Joe, teaching what?" And he said, "Teaching about forgiveness of sins." And I wanted to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
It's like, "Joe, we've been teaching this every single week. I have met with you on so many different occasions. We've talked about the finished work of Jesus Christ, and it's just gone in one ear and out the other because you have been trying to fix your wife."
Focusing on her.
That's exactly right. And when he finally opened up his ears, opened up his heart, and heard the message about Christ's finished work, everything started to change for him.
Yeah.
And he actually kind of let go of trying to fix his wife, to let go of trying to fix his marriage, and simply started growing and learning to rest and enter God's rest through resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to talk about, because it is so important for you to experience that rest that God has promised you in Christ Jesus. And it's from that place of rest that you can truly experience the freedom that you have in Christ and truly experience this life, this Christian life, to the full. So we're going to start today with a passage out of 2 Peter chapter 1. And Peter writes this: "If you possess these qualities, faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So as you were growing in grace, as you were growing in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to see some things being added as far as your Christian life is concerned. It starts with faith. You're trusting Jesus Christ. That faith morphs into goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and all of these things, just the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to be seeing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So if that's true, then you're not going to be ineffective or unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. "But whoever does not have them," these qualities, "is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins." So if you're going to be at rest in your life, if you're going to operate from a place of rest, then you have to know that you have been cleansed from your past sins. Now, we know from what we've studied thus far in this study guide that we've already been cleansed of all sin, past, present, and future. But as far as we're concerned, we only know about the sins we've committed. We don't know what's up ahead, what we're going to commit tomorrow.
Yeah.
But as soon as we commit a sin, it's a past sin, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And we've been cleansed of it. So we need to not forget that we've been cleansed from our past sin. So here are the questions that we ask in the study guide. What quality should a believer see increasing in his or her life? And those qualities I've listed: faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. That sounds like a pretty good list of qualities, a pretty good list of characteristics. And it's something only the grace of God produces in us. It's not something that we can do through human effort. It's not something that we can do through obedience to laws and rules and regulations. No, this is the work of God's Spirit inside of us. So these are the things that we should see. Now, what keeps a person from having these in increasing measure? Well, the fact that we've become nearsighted and blind. So how does Peter describe people who have forgotten that they have been cleansed from their sins? He describes them as being nearsighted and blind, spiritually blind.
Yeah.
You're not seeing the truth. That's what Joe was missing. He was not seeing the truth about the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we meet people almost every single day, don't we, Bob?
Yeah, absolutely.
That are spiritually blind. They're not seeing the truth concerning the forgiveness that Jesus Christ brought about through his shed blood. So we have to come to grips with that truth. So if you're struggling in your Christian life, if you're not seeing these qualities in increasing measure in your life, then here's the solution. You need to take a fresh look at the cross of Jesus Christ. You need to take a fresh look at what he accomplished for you in shedding his blood once and for all.
And the insights just keep on coming. Thanks for those thoughts, Bob. And you know, Fridays here at Basic Gospel, everybody, we're able to offer some focused, in-depth teaching on the new covenant of grace in Jesus Christ. And these sessions you're working through right now, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, that we hope that you're benefiting from what you're hearing. And I don't know how you couldn't if you're listening. But if you miss any of these weekly sessions along the way, visit the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. And we hope you'll share them with your family and friends. And all the sessions are there for you and for anyone that you'd like to share them with. If you don't have a copy of the study guide, you can order it and the book directly off the archive page. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. Remember also, friends, that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate every one of you who has given to ensure that we're able to continue broadcasting and streaming the truth of God's grace in Jesus Christ. We want to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel by sending a copy of the new Hear It, Believe It, Live It resource that Bob has produced. It's called Jesus, a 30-Day Devotional. Request your copy when you make your January gift at basicgospel.net. Well, now back to our study, and here again is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So one of the things Joe learned through the Bible study, once his eyes were open to what Christ had accomplished for him, was one of the results of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And Paul talks about that in Colossians. He talks about the fact that we were once alienated from God, estranged from God. We were hostile toward God. We were enemies in our minds. But through the reconciling work of Jesus Christ, and through that shed blood, he has made us holy and blameless in God's sight. Well, that's one of the things that Joe was missing in his life. He didn't understand that. He was fearful of God's punishment. He was fearful if his marriage fell apart, if divorce happened, that he was going to be punished for that particular sin. And he didn't realize that punishment went upon Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ took the punishment for all Joe's sins. Jesus Christ took the punishment for all my sins, for all your sins, for everyone's sins. He bore that in his body. So he stood in our place, and he took the judgment and the condemnation that was directed at us, and he turned it aside toward himself. That's what Jesus did at the cross. And in taking that, then he sees us when we believe, when we receive the good news, he now sees us as holy and blameless in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That's truth. And when we recognize that truth and believe that truth, then we know we're at rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're not trying to do something on our own to make us look holy and blameless in God's sight. We're not trying to clean off the blemishes and those stains that our sins have brought about. We know that Jesus has already done that. And we also know that the guilt that we once bore, and we were guilty, we
sure
sinned. We were found guilty. So this isn't a feeling. This is the actual guilt of transgressing the law, the actual guilt of sinning, doing the deed, so to speak.
Yeah.
So he's saying now, because of Jesus, because of his death on the cross, we are free from accusation. And so when Joe caught a hold of that, everything changed for him. He recognized that the blood of Jesus Christ satisfied justice on our behalf. Now, talk about good news. That is good news. Now, we see this written in one of, I think, one of the most dense chapters or passages in all the Word of God. It's found in Romans chapter 3, and this sentence has so much theological truth in it. It's taken theologians years and years and years to unravel it, to see it for what it really is. And even then, there's still question marks as to the depths of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us through his sacrifice on the cross. So this passage starts with a verse that we all know and are familiar with and agree that this is true as far as we're concerned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all know that to be true. We can just look at our lives for a day and know that this was true. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but are justified by his grace as a gift. So we sinned, we deserved punishment. Instead, we received justification as a free gift of grace. Now, how did that happen? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins, and it was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. That's a mouthful. There's a lot here. So we sinned. Jesus Christ took our sin upon himself. He bore our sins in his body, and in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. That's what it means to be saved. That's why Paul wrote in Colossians the things that he did, that we now stand before God, holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. That's what the gift of righteousness, that's the state that the gift of righteousness puts us in, a state of holiness in the sight of God, without blemish and free from accusation. That came about through the redemption, this price that Jesus Christ paid through his blood. And this redemption, this act of Jesus Christ, God put forward as a propitiation. Yeah. This was the satisfying work. Now, we know that there were sacrifices required under the old covenant. We know that every year there was a day of atonement. There was the sacrifice of a bull to cover the sins of the high priest. Then there was a sacrifice of a goat to cover the sins of the people. There was a scapegoat that the blood was put upon, and the sins were shown to be carried out into the wilderness. Yeah. But none of those sacrifices satisfied God as far as the forgiveness issue was concerned. All of those sacrifices were simply reminders that the sin debt had yet to be paid in full. Why? Because the blood of bulls and goats could never take away the sins of the people. So those blood offerings, those sacrifices, did not satisfy. They weren't a propitiation as far as justice and forgiveness were concerned. But God put forth Jesus as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. So Jesus Christ offered himself. God the Father accepted his sacrifice as sufficient to take away our sins once and for all. Yeah. There was nothing more to be done. There was no more sacrifices that needed to be offered. So this is good. This is good news.
Indeed.
So if God is satisfied with the work of Jesus on our behalf, I think it just makes sense that we should be satisfied with his sacrifice on our behalf as well.
Yes, indeed.
And once we're satisfied, that's when we enter God's rest.
Yeah.
Now, most of us, and I certainly was like this, I wasn't fully satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ. And the reason I wasn't fully satisfied is because I was ignorant to the fullness of what Jesus had done. So I knew he died on the cross, and in my mind way back then, as a junior high kid and then a high school kid, I thought there was something I needed to do to add to Jesus's work. So I wasn't fully satisfied, so I offered up my sacrifices, my good works, my obedience to the law, my heart of contrition, my asking of forgiveness, and all of those sort of things to add to the work of Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? I was never satisfied in my work either. I knew it wasn't enough. And so this restlessness continued to disturb me, to disturb me on the inside. And I walked on eggshells, always fearing that at some point God was going to punish me. And who knows what that was going to be, but I knew it was going to be pretty bad. So I wasn't satisfied until I started seeing the fullness of what Jesus Christ did for me at the cross. And one of the things that really flipped the switch on for me and allowed me to enter into God's rest was knowing that God was fully satisfied with the work of Jesus. And I started thinking, if God is fully satisfied, man, that says a lot.
Yes, indeed.
That says that what Christ did was enough, that what Christ did was sufficient, that what Christ did actually took away my sins once and for all, actually cleansed me and left me in the state of being holy in God's sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And it was at that point that I entered into God's rest. Now, if you want to enter into God's rest, I think you need to ask those same questions. Now, what is the truth about you? You were a sinner. What happened when you believed? You were declared righteous. You were given the gift of righteousness. Well, how did this justification and redemption come about? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And God demonstrated his justice and that righteousness at the cross. So when it comes to your sins, was God just in dealing with them in Christ? Absolutely. That was where justice was satisfied. And God was just in dealing with your sins in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Is he just in justifying you who has trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. So are you satisfied with the work of Jesus on your behalf? If you can answer with a yes, a resounding yes, you have entered God's rest. You're at the exact spot that God wants you to be, in that place of rest.
Great insights, Bob, and thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being with us today. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book link on the homepage of our website, basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership to keep the good news of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please donate today if you can at basicgospel.net. And to say thanks for your partnership with Basic Gospel, we want to send you a copy of Bob's latest resource that will guide you into a deeper look at the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's called Jesus, a 30-Day Devotional, and we want you to have a copy. Request yours when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, again inviting you to join Bob online Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live. You can link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this week, everybody. Have a great weekend, stay safe, and we'll see you on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel.